destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives, one story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show Quick Rant. Follow on Twitter, twitter.com/rantsoutloud. Read the blog at adriansladeshow.com and get the free Adrian Slade Show Roku channel in the streaming store.
We are still arguing about gun control. We are still arguing about the removal of the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment that says the right to bear arms. That it doesn't just say the right to bear guns. Arms being guns, knives, clubs, a freaking tank. The right to bear arms. People are using their First Amendment rights to call out for the elimination of the Second Amendment rights, to which the Second Amendment rights allow the First Amendment rights to be unabridged. I mean, and all the other amendments are supported and protected by that Second Amendment right. And so we are continuing to have this nonsensical conversation about, well, you know, maybe the cops should have all the guns. That worked out swimmingly in Parkland, in Florida. Oh, maybe the military should have all the guns. That worked out swimmingly in Russia, in Iran in the 70s, in any other totalitarian ditch of a country that was once thriving before a brutal leader decided he was going to take all the means of defense away and just yield his will upon its people. Yeah, that works out great. Common sense gun laws. Gun sense. They always say that. Well, what happens when you go back to the 2015 story of a student Rampage who went on a stabbing, just a stabbing event at a Pennsylvania high school where he injured 21 people? You know, should we have knife sense? Oh no, you can't have guns because, you know, the founders, they had muskets. You know, they didn't have fully automatic weapons or guns. They didn't have, even though they did, they didn't have semi-automatic, scary-looking AR-15s. So, you know, why do you need a fully automatic weapon? Why do you need a semi-automatic weapon? Well, why do we need a Ginsu? Why do we need a butcher knife? We've already outlawed, you know, switchblades. You know, we've already outlawed fully automatic knives. So why do you need to have a Ginsu? And they're going to push for legislation that only, you know, allows for kitchen knives over the age of 21. Will we be doing that? Until then, you're just going to have to rip your food apart like a feral Cro-Magnon. You're going to look like Shane after he turned on The Walking Dead. We're going to have to put a knife through your head to keep you from ripping all the ribeyes apart with your bare hands since you can't buy a knife over the age of 21. Isn't that how it works? If we apply it to knives? Same standard? I mean, let's not forget about the 39 that were killed in a stabbing attack on a Chinese subway with a guy with a knife. I mean, it's not as though they're not proficient with knives. It's not as though Hong Kong Fui's not going to show up out of the filing cabinet with a big old switchblade. There must be a way that we can blame the semi-automatic rifle and the NRA over these knife attacks. I mean, we can't seem to deem Black Lives Matter or the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization, but a membership club who stands up for already codified constitutional rights is supposed to be one? Yeah, no. Nope. And I heard there was an AR-15 in the window of the gun store just down from that Pennsylvania high school. You know, the AR-15 just loitering around, hanging around. It was right near Planned Parenthood. That's right. Remember in San Bernardino, the shooting was actually first reported as being a shooting by a Planned Parenthood, even though the Planned Parenthood was maybe 15, 20 miles down the road, had nothing to do with the fact that it was an Islamic attack on a Christmas party because he didn't like Christians and he didn't like Christmas, but he sure loved him some weapons that neighbors did not report. Yeah, maybe it's the AR-15 hanging out in the gun store 20 miles down the road near the Planned Parenthood. Maybe it's its fault. So they're going to continue to push this remove the assault rifle, you know, movement. You know, assault rifles, usually placed near the Coriander rifle and the Cuban long gun, while, you know, teenage 21 Jump Street students become human shields like David Hogg, and they go out there calling for some tax? He actually tweeted, "Hey, Donald Trump, how about instead of destroying our economy through tariffs on steel and aluminum, you place a tax on firearm sales that is used to harden schools, create new manufacturing jobs, and save lives? Hashtag gun tax." Hey, David, there already is. It's called a sales tax. Say it with me now. Sales tax. I think he wants a scary barrel, gas-powered, school shooting, bad thingy tax. I think that's what he wants to legislate. He's going to place that on fully semi-automatic, high-capacity magazine subscriptions or something like that. I mean, I got to cancel my subscription to high-capacity magazine because it's so gauche. You know, they want you to live the high-capacity life. You have to get rid of that one. I mean, not only are we hearing about these stupid measures pushed by these kids from this Parkland school, we're now hearing, I'm serious, we're now hearing stories about dropping the voting age to 16. Seriously, Bloomberg put out a piece. If teenagers can organize marches, lobby legislatures, and support candidates, why can't they vote? I don't know. I mean, this is the same news outlet who's shares the last name of the founder and financier of Everytown, Michael Bloomberg. You know, Shannon Watts' little rogue group. They're not deeming them a terrorist group for trying to take guns away, trying to hijack the Second Amendment. But yeah, so let's let 16-year-olds vote. Let's drop that age of voting down to 16. That's a great idea. I mean, it's the same reason why they can't currently buy a pistol. It's the same reason why they can't buy a bottle of Jack. Okay? I mean, if they can organize marches, are they able to make it to the march on their learner's permit that they just got? Are they going to be able to drive to these marches? Sure. Why not let them vote before they even know how to parallel park? Because no one is worried about people's well-being in this argument. It's not about safety. It's not about children. It's a movement cloaked within the parkas and the jackets of the children who were targeted by a disturbed, medicated young adult who was notified as a danger to the FBI numerous times, notified to local law enforcement, local police departments, whose sheriff was filmed telling an audience of police officers and concerned citizens years ago to run away when addressing the best response to a mass shooting. Same sheriff who told police officers and responding EMTs to stand down as a mass shooting was actually occurring, and who fired two SWAT team members who did engage against the orders to not engage. This is about changing what the left calls a living document. You know, that same living document that they're currently trying to disembowel and gut all of its vital organs, like the Second Amendment. The elimination of the Constitution is what they want. You think I'm wrong? You think I'm overreacting? Here's a piece from The Week magazine entitled, "The Constitution is Terrible. Let's Throw It Out and Start Over." From the piece, "The American Constitution is an outdated, malfunctioning piece of junk, and it's only getting worse. When written, the Constitution made a morally hideous compromise with slavery that took a war and 750,000 lives to make right. And while its basic structure sort of worked for a while in the 20th century, the Constitution is now falling prey to the same defects that has toppled every other similar governing document the world over. The truth seems clear. America is going to have to overhaul its basic structure of government, or eventually it will fall to pieces. The major problem with America's Constitution is that it creates a system in which elections generally do not produce functioning governments, and there is no mechanism to break the deadlock, like calling snap elections. Most of the time, control of the House, Senate, and presidency is split between two parties in some way. Bipartisan compromises to keep government functioning used to be common, but are near impossible anymore due to extreme party polarization. To fix the problem, America should aim to make itself more like a proportional parliamentary democracy, by far the most successful and road-tested form of government." Well, you know, Week magazine, the reason why it's so hard to get anything through a functioning government was it was made that way by design, so that the things that were legitimate and better or beneficial to the citizenry could make it through. Only those things. You can't just push whatever garbage you want through. But, you know, it's like I've always said, pure democracy in lieu of a representational republic results in mob rule. And that leads to a popular vote to push for a charismatic leader who everybody, you know, the majority gloms onto. And that person becomes fixated on power so much so that it eventually becomes a dictatorship. Socialism leads to communism or fascism or some other authoritarianism. But the pro-socialists, they're going to yell, let's stop these evil corporations. They're poisoning us with their BPA and plastics and unnatural preservatives and the Monsanto corn issues and the earth-shaking evil of fracking, and they're killing us all for profits. Yeah, let's go ahead and take that power, the power for you to decide whether you want to, you want to shop with these organizations, you want to actually engage in commerce with these organizations. Let's take that control and give it to the government. Let them control the means of production, with the only interest being the government body and how it regulates its sustenance, its production, its items and assets and needs to its people based on what they think you should have, not your interest. The same governing body that has a monopoly on force, whether it be financial or physical. And it always heads to the same direction. And when I mean financial, they can put a lien on your bank account. When I say physical, they can put a gun to your head and say, do as I say, the law demands it. Corporations don't have that ability. But, you know, why not go into the direction of socialism? I mean, Washington Post is praising it and saying, hey, let's give it a try. This from the Washington Post. In the United States, we've arrived at a pair of mutually exclusive convictions: that liberal capitalist democracies are guaranteed by their nature to succeed, and that in our Trumpist moment, they seem to be failing in deeply unsettling ways. For liberals, and I mean inheritors of the long liberal tradition, not specifically those who might be progressives, efforts to square these two notions have typically combined expressions of high anxiety with reinsurances that if we only have the right attitude, everything itself will be all right. Hanging on and hoping for the best is certainly one approach to rescuing the best of liberalism from its discontents, but my answer is admittedly more ambitious. It's time to give socialism a try. Yeah, that's from the Washington Post. Andrew Sullivan recently lamented in New York Magazine, there are moments when everything I have come to believe in, reason, deliberation, mutual toleration, liberal democracy, free speech, honesty, decency, moderation, seem as if they are in eclipse. And from Yashaka Monk, for the foreseeable future, nationalism is likely to remain a defining political force. This was written in the New York Times. Liberals should strive to make nationalism as inclusive as possible. The notion that everything will either be or is already all right, granted the correct attitude, that we are better than this, as Joe Biden confidently declares on his newly launched Political Action Committee's website. I wonder who's running for president. Appears particularly frail. It's hard to square that late Obama-era insistence that America's already great with the palpable sense that something in the climate, in the economy, in society, in politics, in the wellspring of American ideas is going badly wrong. What to do? You know, that capitalism is inimical or harmful to the best of liberalism isn't a new concern. It's a long-standing critique present in early socialist thought that both capitalism and liberal governance have since changed those days without displacing the criticism suggests that it's true in a foundational way. Not to be confused for a totalitarian nostalgist, I would support a kind of socialism that would be democratic and aim primarily at decommodifying labor, reducing the vast inequality brought about by capitalism, and breaking capital's stranglehold over politics and culture. I don't even see that happening right now, but back to the story. I don't think every problem can be traced back to capitalism. There were calamities and injustices long before capitalism, and I will venture to say there will be after, but it seems to me that it's time for those who expect and enjoy the end of history to accept that, though they are linked in certain respects, capitalism seems to be at odds with the harmonious, peaceful, stable liberalism of mid-century dreams. I don't think we've reached the end of history yet, which means we still have a chance to shape the future we want. I suggest we take it. So their answer is to go with a system of government that eventually leads to a rationing of Crest toothpaste and a diet of Fido bites and poodle pasta, you know, to the point where someone in Venezuela, you know, that's what I'm talking about, Venezuela, brainstorming on, you know, how do we fix this food deficiency that we have? How do we feed the masses? Oh, I got a bright idea. Remember that saying that says they're screwing like rabbits? Maybe we can get enough rabbits together and breed them quickly enough so that we can eat them and have an abundance of food too. Swell idea. In Venezuela, they are eating their dogs and cats as their leaders can no longer effectively distribute sustenance to its citizenry. Let them eat pets! President Maduro freaking ate an empanada on TV that he pulled out of his desk while addressing a nation that's starving. That's kind of like, you know, being in the middle of a State of the Union address during the Great Depression and the Papa John's guy's knocking on the door and the president goes, here you go, here's a 20% tip for the garlic knots in the supreme pie. I mean, look at how the Soviet Union considered its citizenry regarding the Chernobyl disaster. I mean, they conducted a risky test because if it was successful, those involved with the test would be promoted from their levels of squalor. And it was basically a test where someone said, hey, how do we actively melt down our nuclear reactor? Can we unmelt it back up? Yeah, dumb idea. So they collapsed their reactor, which shoots radioactive steam 3,000 feet up into the air. It lit up the sky like it was the middle of the night, or lit up the sky in the middle of the night like it was high noon, sunny and partly cloudy. Cloudy with radioactive clouds that crossed most of the nation. Those clouds went into France, parts of Europe, with complete media silence because the country, the government, would not admit that anything was wrong to the news. They acted as though everything's copacetic. A-OK, not a biggie. And then they sent firefighters. They sent active duty military members and reserve military members into the contamination with silly lead sheets attached to their clothing. You know, that's going to protect you. Many died, some within hours, some within the year. They told their citizens who were out there playing in the playgrounds right down the street, you know, there's a merry-go-round, a huge merry-go-round, kind of like what you see in England that was getting ready to be unveiled, and it sits rusted these days. They told all those people that were playing out in the streets and, you know, enjoying life that, you know, 36 hours after the event, that they had to go ahead and evacuate. And they ran their buses, their government-run buses to them, and they wanted to save them from the contamination. That was too late. It's already too late. They're already contaminated. They sent miners. The government sent miners to dig tunnels to the melted core that had burrowed into the earth. And it was a suicide mission. The food supply was contaminated across Europe. Hundreds of thousands of powder milk packages on pallets were basically wasted because they were all contaminated. Children were being diagnosed with cancer. And what happened to the government officials that were responsible for this carelessness? Well, they were tried in a Soviet court. One was sentenced to 10 years in prison, only to claim insanity later, and then placed into a psych hospital where, eureka, he was claimed to be cured and then assigned to a new project. Their government did not have their citizens' interests at heart. Socialist governments never do. This is why you do not give them the type of power that socialists think they should have. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. Follow me on Twitter at Rants Out Loud. You can check out the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Spreaker, Google Play Music, TuneIn app, iHeartRadio, or get the free Adrian Slade Show Roku channel if you have a Roku device. Get it in your streaming store. Please donate to support the show if you'd like at patreon.com/Adrian Slade Show. You'll get exclusive early screenings of the show before they air on Talk America Radio and before they're made public. You also get free subscriber-only exclusives, additional quick rants, and Adrian Slade Music Matinee Podcast. We'll see you next time.